But you have to understand, the Holy Spirit is all the way through the Scriptures. I preached to you Sunday morning on Abraham, or Abram and Sarai, in that 17th chapter. Now, if you remember, also in that 17th chapter, he named him Abram to Abraham. Now, why did he do that? First of all, he's the father of nations. That's what he called him. But there was another reason. The word Abraham has an H in it, and the Israeli alphabet has a sound on each letter. The letter H in the Israeli alphabet is ha. Anybody get what I'm just saying? He breathed upon them like Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Because he also said, Sarai, no longer, it's Sarah. And he breathed on them, and they received a touch of the Holy Spirit. And in their old age, come on now, are you hearing me? She's 90. Hello, she's 90. She's 90. If I thought, no, I'm teasing you. Pray for me. I'm teasing. Impossible. It's impossible for a 90-year-old woman. They've had 60-year-old women, 65-year-old women have babies. You've read it in the news. But a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man, but they had a baby named Isaac. All because what? The Holy Spirit. Say it with me. The Holy Spirit. Now, in Numbers chapter 18, verse 8, turn with me right there, if you will, and put it on the screen because I want you to see it. And the Lord spake unto Abram, behold, or Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of my heave offering. Now, what the heave offering was representing was the offerings that Israel brought for the ministry to provide the needs for the ministry. Do you understand that? See, he's anointed to be your pastor. Notice it carefully. Mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel, unto thee have I given them. Now notice this, by reason of the anointing. In other words, his needs are supplied here at this church by reason of the anointing that's upon his life. If you understand that, lift your hand high and shout amen. Amen. That's why you pay your preacher. You pay your pastor because he's anointed to be. You're not. In fact, my son Tony, who's a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, I told him, I said, honey, try real estate. Go into insurance. Don't be a preacher. Don't be a, because it's the roughest job you've ever had in your entire life if you're not anointed. We have a lot of daddy called preachers that are preaching today that don't know one thing about the anointing. Come on, amen. They are foolish when it comes to the anointing. Tony, I will never forget when the anointing came on him. After David passed away, they had a memorial basketball tournament. His team won the tournament. How did they celebrate? They went out and got drunk. My son was killed by a drunk driver. Tony came home that night and wouldn't come in the house. He drove around the block trying to sober up. Put every piece of chewing gum and breath mint he could find in his mouth. And finally, he came in, and he went downstairs in the downstairs bathroom. And I went down there. His girlfriend, who later became his wife, Gwen, all of us went down there. Come out here, Tony. I'm not coming out. He didn't want me to smell that smell. I said, son, you either come out or I'm coming in. And when he came out, he had that smell on him. I doubled up my fist. I was going to knock every tooth out of his head. I looked at him straight in the eye and I said, how on earth do you bring that smell into my house? And Tony began to cry. I'll cry too. He began to cry. And he said, Dad, I go to school by myself. I come home by myself. I watch TV by myself. At one moment, I was a brother. Next moment, I'm an only child because his brother, his younger brother, was killed by a drunk driver when he was 16 years old. That's the hardest battle that she and I have ever gone through. Thank God there'll be a day when we'll be reunited around the throne eternal. And I'm looking to that day. But I had to get up at 7 o'clock the next morning, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to drive to Louisville to preach. Sunnyside Assembly of God. I told Tony, I said, you're going to get up, you're going to go with me. He went with me that morning. I preached my sermon. First person to hit the altar was my boy. And he told me on the way home, he said, Dad, whether you preach good or not, I was going to go to the altar. I don't think he even knew what preaching good and preaching bad was. But whatever the case, he came running to the altar. And all the way home that night, he told me about what he had done, how they had gotten drunk, how their younger brother David, 15 years old, drove the car so the other drunk guys wouldn't have to drive the car. I said, do you realize what would have happened if you'd have had an accident? If someone had been, God just took care of us and watched over us. But I'd look at him and I'd say, isn't that fun? Didn't you have a wonderful time? You know, they'd talk about pulling over the side of the road so they could all vomit, regurgitate that old rot gut wine they were drinking. I said, wasn't that fun? It's not fun. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not fun. And ladies and gentlemen, Tony, I told him, I said, look, and I didn't know he was doing things like that. She kept it from me. She fasted a week a month for 2 or 3 months. For him to accept the Lord as his Savior. He got saved that morning. I told him, I said, this summer you're going to go with me to every place I go. And everywhere I went, I took him with me. He sold product back there in the back and all of that. And I'd have him testify. And he'd get up and go, and then he'd sit down. But one night I was preaching at the Virginia camp meeting. It's Friday night. I said, Friday night, I'm going to tell you how Tony and I got through the loss of my son, David. And I'm going to let Tony share with you how he got through it. So I preached that night. And then I said, all right, Tony, come on. He stood in that pulpit, started talking. And then I saw the anointing come on him. Hallelujah. The anointing of God came on my boy. He preached, he talked for 20 minutes. And when I gave the altar call, over 400 young people gave their heart to Jesus Christ in that service. Somebody shout hallelujah. That was the anointing of God coming on my son. And I will never forget it. As I was driving home that night, I called my wife. I said, baby, he's called to preach. He's going to preach the word. And I've been trying. You see, if you're called to preach, there ain't nothing else you can do. I'd love to do something else. I'd love to be able to have the ability to do something else. Always wanted to be a lawyer. That's what I've always wanted to be, a lawyer or an actor. Now, that's really a diverse situation. But God, my wife said, no, not really. Whatever the case, anyway, that's what I wanted to be. And the good Lord, ladies and gentlemen, the good Lord called me into what I'm doing now. And I can't do anything else. I wouldn't be unhappy to do anything else. But oh, let me tell you something glorious. If you're called to be a preacher, don't stoop to be a king. For everything lower than that is less. If you're called, I didn't say if you are, I said if you're called. If you have an anointing, there's nothing else you can do. He can't do anything else. Do you understand that? You extend yourself beyond yourself. You leave your family. I've spent half my life alone away from her because of the gospel, the call of doing what I'm doing. Come on, amen. And I don't regret one second, but my son is now a pastor. And by reason of the anointing, his church takes care of him. This church takes care of him. Because of the anointing, just as it was with Abram and Sarai, just as it was in Numbers chapter 18, verse 8. The Holy Spirit has been very prominent and very important throughout all of Scripture to emphasize. Then came Jesus. And Jesus, you got to understand and realize how important Jesus put an importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We think it's optional. It's not optional. Well, yeah, it is. If I want to pray through, I'll pray. No, honey, he commanded the disciples. Don't leave Jerusalem. Do you know there's no, and to my knowledge, there's no other verse of Scripture in the Bible where Jesus ever commanded his disciples. He would tell them what to do. Go this, go here, go there, get a donkey or whatever the case may be. But here in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he commanded, being assembled together, commanded. Everybody say the word commanded. Amen. Say it aloud. Commanded. Amen. Commanded them that they not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Zechariah, the Holy Spirit as well. Zechariah, chapter 6, verse 4, or rather chapter 4, verse 6, where he said, it's not by might, bragging on himself, telling you his responsibility to you. It's not by might. If you don't know that verse, you better get down here right now and I'll pray for you. Not by might nor by power, but saith the Lord of hosts. Come on, amen. He himself emphasized the imperativeness to be filled with the Spirit, to be full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, I can't get over that word. I mean, that overwhelms me. When I realized that, it just overwhelmed me. Where he said, commanded, don't you leave Jerusalem. You go back and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll not testify of himself. He'll tell you more about me. Do you understand something, ladies and gentlemen? The disciples were in his presence, but never felt his presence until he ascended and the Holy Spirit came. Oh, hallelujah. Do you realize that? They were in his presence. They lived natural lives. They saw natural things happen and miracles happen, and that's why they were continually making mistakes and making fool out of themselves. Like Peter, who made the statement, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? But here Peter, years later, after talking in tongues and receiving the Holy Spirit, he said, cast all of your cares for him, because he careth for you. Come on, amen. When you get full of the Holy Spirit, you get full of him. He will testify of me. He'll tell you all the good things about me. Come on, saints. Amen. Bless his name. Rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit. People have the opinion that they can. I've heard people make the statement, I'm going to pray for an hour. I'm going to pray for an hour. Bless God, every day I'll pray for an hour. After 5 minutes, they're praying Jimmy, Johnny, Tommy, every one of them. They run out of things to say. I'm going to tell you how to pray. He's talking about me praying today. Let me tell you how. I put my phones on. I wouldn't have heard you anyway. If you'd have tried to disturb me, I wouldn't have heard you. Because in my phones, I got my music just as loud as I can get it. Why? I don't want to be disturbed. I don't want my wife to, and she will, but there are times when I don't want to be disturbed. I want to be alone with God. And you know, the good music, boom, doo, doo, boom, boom, boom. I like that music, but I don't like that when I'm praying. I like stuff like, I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. I turn it as loud as I can get it in my ear, and then I wait. You what? I wait. I read the scriptures, and I wait. What are you waiting? I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit. Because you are not an intercessor. Do you hear me? Some people stand up braggadociously. I'm an intercessor. No, you ain't. You are not an intercessor. The Holy Spirit within you is the intercessor. First of all, you've got to connect him so he could connect you to the Father. You are not brought into the holies of holies by yourself. You are brought in by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. There are times when I'm praying and I say, God, I don't know what to say. Pray for me, Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, that precious Holy Spirit will cover my soul and I'll speak in tongues. I don't know what I'm saying, but I know my Heavenly Father's hearing every word of it. How many of you believe in Paul the Apostle? Do you believe in Paul the Apostle? Lift up your hand way high if you believe in him. Well, let me tell you what he did. Acts chapter 19, ran across in Ephesus some of John's disciples. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Oh, we don't even know if there's any Holy Ghost. And they, what baptism are you from? John? Well, then he began to preach to them Jesus Christ. And every one of them got saved. Isn't that glorious? Every one of them got saved. He wasn't finished yet. He laid his hands on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? He thought it important to say, it's great to be saved, but you need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it is a testimony. It is a power that you can communicate with the Heavenly Father that will help you overcome the world. You understand that? If I can get an edge on somebody, if I'm in competition with somebody, if I can get an edge on them, I'll take it. You understand, this old world, I'm in competition with this spiritual world full of devils and demons and ungodliness and sin. If I can get an edge that I can defeat them even that much more, then that's what I want. What's that edge? Need I say, it is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Now, four things. Why did these people become spirit-filled? There had to be a reason why they had to become spirit-filled before he ascended. In fact, the Sunday after he came out of that tomb, that Sunday afternoon, he met with his disciples who were behind closed doors, locked for fear of the Jews. Because if they found out who they were, they'd crucify them just like they crucified him. And they were afraid. And understand, they didn't know he would really come back to life. Amen. Even though Mary Magdalene, even though they had seen the cloth and all of these things and the stone rolled away, still they were frightened and fearful. But that Sunday afternoon, he walked through the door. What would happen if all of a sudden Jesus walked through that door right there? What would you do? I'd scare me half to death, but I'd rejoice. I've prayed in churches, walked aisles, talking to God, filled the Holy Ghost. I say, Lord, let me see an angel. I want to see an angel. Let me see an angel. Spookiest place in the world is a church, dark. Come on, amen. I don't know why. But I'd be praying and talking to God. Let me see an angel. And all of a sudden, I'd almost get to that point where I'm going to see an angel. I'd say, no, Lord, don't do it. It'll scare me to death. If Jesus came through that door, it'd scare me to death. But I tell you what I would do. I'd run to him and kiss his feet and love him with all that is within me. Come on, because I love him with all that is within me. But he just walked through the door. Thomas wasn't there. Later on down the line, Thomas was, and he walked through the door again. And he could have gone up to Peter and said, Peter, now it's important. You're going to preach a great message on Pentecost morning, and I want to go over to point one, point two. Or he could have said, John, you've got some books you're going to write, and they're very important. He didn't go to either one of them. He went to Thomas because Thomas was the one that was in need. Why is he here tonight? To meet your needs. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's why he's here. And he walked to Thomas and said, Thomas, they tell me you want to put your fingertips in my nail prints. They tell me you want to thrust your hand in my side. And here is a Jew with his eyes as big as saucers looking at Jesus saying, my Lord, my God. I mean, he's overwhelmed. You'd be overwhelmed. Couldn't make up his mind. Which one? What did he want to do? Finally, he just said, my Lord and my God, I believe. There's nothing greater than seeing a sinner accept Christ and believe. But oh, what's more glorious than that is what Jesus said in response. You believe in me because you've seen me. I've never seen him, ladies and gentlemen. I believe in him. He said, blessed are those that have never seen me, and yet they believe. Oh, hallelujah. Why do I believe? Because of the Holy Spirit that is generating faith in my life. Faithless generation. That's what a lot of people in a lot of churches are. Faithless. Why? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit to generate that gift in their lives. Come on, amen. First of all, they believed in Jesus. They did what he said. They went back to that upper room. And then secondly, they believed in what he said. Amen. Now, can you imagine this? They've never felt his presence. They've been in his presence, never felt it. Told by the master, go back, seek for the promise of the Father. Well, who will he be? What will he look like? What's going to happen? They didn't know. They were totally in question. 500 people went back to that upper room. 500 people. I've been there. It's a glorious place. But ladies and gentlemen, 380 of them left. After 10 days of seeking God, 380 of them left. It's amazing to me. 380 of them. You'll have to forgive me for a few moments. Can I take a little sidebar right here? It tickles me to death when somebody will get up right like down here and walk all the way back to the bathroom. And I'm trying to preach to them, and they'll go. They're almost like that the dog on that comic little comic cartoon, you know, like squirrel. Squirrel. You lose your train of thought. You don't even listen to what the man of God is preaching. What I'm trying to do is dig deep into your life and let you understand the greatest prowess. How many want to defeat the devil? How many are sick and tired of being sick and tired? Then the key to it all is to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit, for it is He that will lift up Jesus. Come on, amen. 380 of them didn't stay. There was one point in Jesus' life, I think it's in John chapter 6, where He preached pretty hard to them, so much so that some of them, His disciples, left Him because He knew that a lot of them were there for the free food, and they wanted to see the miracles, and He knew that, and a bunch of them left Him. He turned around to His disciples, "You're going to leave me? You're going to leave me too?" And these disciples, "Where do we go? Master, You have the words of life. Where do we go?" 380 of them left Him. They didn't care. That's what the world's like today. They don't care. They're materialistic. They don't believe in you. They think you're a nut being in church on a Monday night. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the best place you could ever be in your life. Why? Because you're getting stronger in Him, more anointed in Him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? More glorious in Him. But then suddenly there came a suddenly. I love those suddenlies. There came a sound from heaven. Now that's a glorious thing right there. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Somebody said, "Why was it a rushing mighty wind?" Because He was in a hurry to get there. Rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. Appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Set upon each of them, and they all began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utter. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Concentrate for a moment on the wind, the rushing mighty wind. It wasn't the tongues that attracted the crowd. Oh, that was amazing. That was phenomenal. My wife and I were talking about it. Where were we at? In Germany. We were talking at lunch today. We were in Germany, and people that had received the Holy Ghost, Germans, I mean, pure German, they would be shouting, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah." They couldn't speak English, but they were praising God in perfect English. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Those people began to praise God in other people's languages. That was amazing. But the noise of that wind, they said it was like a tornado. I was in Oklahoma City. You remember the tornado in Tuscaloosa. In Oklahoma City, they had two tornadoes that set records. First one was more than a mile wide. But then they had another one a couple of days later that was 2 miles wide. That set a record. And I asked the man, I said, "What was it like? Can you describe it at all?" He said, "It was like having a locomotive in your room. It sounded like a locomotive engine right in your room. Sound, the decimals would probably be deafening. That noise came into that upper room, blowed it apart, and then men came down from the upper room. Hello, how are y'all doing? Is that the way they did? They came down from the upper room staggering. My God, they had been overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. They came staggering. People said, "These people are drunk." No, it's but the ninth hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They can't be drunk. Peter said, "This is that which the prophet spoke of. I'll pour out My Spirit upon your young men and your old men." Come on, amen. What you're seeing is the results of Jesus. Oh, I'm about to shout. What you're seeing is Jesus going to heaven to present himself as that living sacrifice and making sure that it was acceptable. You sang about it just a moment ago, a name. Hallelujah. When he came into the presence of the Father stood and gave him a name. Now, down here on this earth, we know him as Jesus. In heaven, they know him as a revelation. They know him as the Word. But honey, when he came from the cross back to heaven, oh, hallelujah, he received the name. It's like the Medal of Honor. I'm the name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you don't have to say name of Jesus up there. All you got to do is say name. Come on, Rapakasaya. In the name, in his name. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, he's received a name which is above all names, at the name of Jesus. You see, I read the other day that Christ is Hebrew, Lord is Gentile. But when you talk about Jesus, that's you and me. Come on. I believe he's my Christ. I believe he's my Lord. And thank God I know the name of Jesus. Come on, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. You know what? What emphasizes that name before you? The Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, they spoke with tongues. Now that's a phenomenon that I cannot even imagine. I was in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, preaching one night. And I'd preach my sermon, Lord God, we had church. And every once in a while I'd speak in tongues. After the service was over, Big Brother came up to me, lifted me up off the floor. Oh, he said, so good to be in God's house with another Greek brother. I said, pardon me? He said, you're Greek, aren't you? I said, no, sir, I'm American. Been American all my life, far as I know. He said, no, you're Greek. I said, why? He said, because in the midst of your sermon, there would be times when you'd come out in beautiful Greek phrases, praising and magnifying. I said, oh, please tell me, what was I saying? He said, you were saying, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, in some of the most beautiful Greek phrases. It wasn't low guttural Greek, it was upper echelon Greek. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know Greek. I have professors at University of Lee University that can tell you I don't know Greek because I flunked the course. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you don't speak gutter Greek, you speak upper echelon Greek. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. A dear friend of mine named Ulf Ekman, that's his name, Ulf Ekman. He's from Sweden, has a great large church there. And one night an Arabic man came into the service with a gun in his pocket. He was going to kill Ulf Ekman. But as he walked through the door, suddenly a Swedish lady began to speak in perfect Arabic, told the man, why you're here? Because you want to kill the pastor. But if you'll turn from that, come and accept me, I'll bring you into the glories of glories. I'll save your soul. The man rushed to the altar, got on his knees, and began to pray and accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And after that was over with, walked up to that Swedish lady and began to speak Arabic to her. She looked at him like he was crazy, coming from another world. Don't you know Arabic? No. Do you speak Arabic? No. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Somebody try, oh, speaking in tongues is of the devil. Dr. Richard E. Hahn, you remember him. He had the Dulles program, Day of Discovery. I'd watch his program on Sunday morning, and halfway through it, I'd put me to sleep. He didn't enthuse me at all. But I was going to Birmingham, from Chattanooga down to Birmingham. Turned on the radio, Dr. Richard DeHaan. What was his subject? Glossolalia, the doctrine of speaking in tongues. And he began to talk about speaking in tongues. I turned him up. Wasn't long, I was turned him down. Finally, I just turned him off. In fact, at one point, if you'd come by my car, you'd thought I was crazy. Because I started beating on the dash of my car. He was reading from Corinthians and said, where there are tongues, they shall cease. When the church was in the embryonic stage, God allowed them to speak in tongues. But we have reached such a state of maturity. And he used that verse, where there are tongues, they shall cease. That's when I started beating on the, I turned him off and beat on the dashboard. Read the whole chapter. Don't take one line. Because when you read the chapter, it says we see through a glass darkly. Where there'll be no longer need of knowledge. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Where their tongues, they'll cease. I don't know what we'll be speaking in glory, but I can't wait to get there to find out. Amen. All I know is one of these days, oh, hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm saying? One of these days, somebody asked me the other day, where would you like to be when Jesus comes back? I said, I'd love to be at the foot of my boy's grave. It tears me to pieces when I go to his grave. I mean, I fall apart. I can't even go. When I do go, you know, once a year maybe, he's not there. He's in glory anyway. He's with me all the time. But there'll be a day when that grave will shake and rattle and roll under the power of God. And he'll burst forth under the power of the Holy Spirit. And he'll rise to meet the Lord in the air. But I got news for you, honey. Just a split second after he rises, bang, this mortal will put on immortality. The corruptible will put on incorruption. And I'll rise to meet the Lord in the air with him. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, please let me go by one of those preachers that don't believe in the rapture. Because when I go by them, I want to look at them and say, I told you. Come on, amen. One of these days, there's going to be a power that's inside of you. Let me emphasize it. If you have your lamp trimmed and burning, if your lamp is full of oil, come on, amen. If you're full of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, oh, well, Brother Rock, I speak in tongues, so I know a lot of people that'll come see the bow tie and shoot a pecan down, ride a Honda. Their heart's as black as the ace of spades. Just because you got a few syllables memorized doesn't mean you speak in tongues. What you want, ladies and gentlemen, is the fire inside of your soul burning within your life. Come on, amen. What you want is that anointing covering, like that dear sweet lady last night just danced all over this place. Come on. What was that, Brother Brock? That was the Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Ghost. That brother Sunday morning, my dear brother, fell out. Had that electrical shock. He had another electrical shock on Sunday morning. He fell out. Why? Because the power of God came on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is here. Come on to the piano, my friend. The Holy Spirit is here. If you believe he's here, shout aloud, amen. Amen. Fourth thing. They couldn't hide it. They became witnesses. This little group of people here can turn this whole town upside down. If you'll get full of the Holy Spirit. If it'll be your desire to be full of the Holy Spirit. From Abraham to Sarai to Numbers chapter 18, verse 8. All the way up to Zechariah chapter 6, verse 4. All the way to Jesus who commanded them. Know why he commanded them? He knew they would be inept, would not have the ability. In fact, at one point, Peter said, I'm going fishing. He'd lost it all. And it took the Lord to bring him back. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the anointing. It's the anointing that's carried this church worldwide. In fact, Israeli, the counselor to Queen Elizabeth, she asked him one day, she said, why do you believe in God? He said, I only have one word. She said, what word is that? Jew. The Jew. God has taken care of the Jew. God has taken care of the church. God's anointed the church. It stood through thick, this persecution. Ridiculous. These men think they're in control. There's no way. Sorry, Mr. Obama. Whatever you do will not destroy God's plans. Whatever you do, Mr. Putin, will not destroy God's plans. All of you world leaders put together cannot destroy God's plans. For he continued that discourse. When they asked him, will it be at this time? that you'll reveal your kingdom. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. God bless all the prophecy preachers, but all they can do is speculate. Nobody can predict the unpredictable. But I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Three kinds of anointing. There's anointing that's with you to guide you through all this world. There's an anointing that's in you that protects your soul. You know why men fall from grace? Fall from the ministry? Because they think it's them and not God. They don't nurture the inward anointing, because the inward anointing will keep you humble. Did you hear what I said? This inward anointing, ladies and gentlemen, won't make you a church boss. That's good preaching if I say so myself, Brother Steve. You go ahead and preach that. They may not like it, but you go ahead and preach it. Amen. Won't make you a church boss. Some churches are demon or deacon possessed. Come on. Amen. They try to run the church. The inward anointing will not allow you to do that. It will keep you humble. As a minister, it will give God all the glory. Amen. But then there's the power that comes on you. And it comes for a season and for a reason. It didn't come on you every day. Every time I kissed my wife, if the power of the Holy Spirit was on me, she'd fall out under the power. Did you know that? No, it doesn't work that way. But it comes upon you when you need it. But you shall receive power. That's the third anointing that comes upon you. And what? And what? You'll be witnesses unto me, both in Shelby County. Where am I at? Alabaster. Birmingham, both in Shelby County, Alabaster, Birmingham, Alabama, and unto the uttermost parts of wherever your world may take you. That's why I love to wear my hat. Jesus is my boss. I'm glad you bought the T-shirt. Everybody can tell you're not ashamed of the gospel, or what would Jesus do? Come on, amen. I'm going to ask you right now, Brother Steve, I need the Holy Spirit anew in my life. I don't have the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or it's been a long time since I spoke in tongues, or I need a new touch of His presence. I want you to stand to your feet right now in the name of Jesus, if that's the way you feel.